We spoke previously about some of the issues in terms of relationship with our children and a lot of different things to navigate, short-term, mid-term, long-term, which is very critical in parenting and dealing with our children. I'd like to talk today a little bit about something, another aspect, maybe an aspect of chinuch that's missing to a reasonable to great extent in the chinuch of our children. And that is more the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've often interviewed, informally, yeshiva graduates and asked them about how often have you heard about this concept of having a relationship with Hashem? And they would tell me, rarely, very little, not at all, I don't know what you're talking about, V.S. Mendoz, you know, Vos Mentos, like, whoa, what are you talking about? And when it comes to, well, what is that? I heard about it, even if I heard about it, but I don't know, what's that all about? I'll never forget, I once gave a session for Mechanchim and Mechanchos that were leaving Yerushalayim, leaving Eretz Yisrael, to go to Budapest to start a day school there. There hadn't been a day school there for 40 years. And a few number of years ago, and I came in to the session that I was slated to speak, and the previous speaker was still speaking. I was listening a little bit. And he says, make sure that you don't mention anything about Hashem, because he's been absent from Budapest for the last 40 years, and you just can't talk about that. So I was fuming. I waited patiently. Baruch Hashem, I only had about 5 minutes to wait, because otherwise I would have exploded. And I started my session. I said, I must tell you, I have to disagree with that suggestion. Not only should you talk to them about Hashem, but about having a positive relationship with him. And I'll never forget the people sitting around the table. They said, well, what are you going to do if they laugh at you? And I remember telling them, I said, I've been lecturing to people, not even religious people, for years, decades, about relationship with Hashem, and nobody ever laughed. They're jealous. Everybody wants that relationship. Okay, fine. After the first week of school, I'm on the phone with there was a fellow here who was like the president of that foundation who organized the school. A guy lived in Borough Park. And he tells me, and he didn't know about my session with the teachers or anything. He says, but I want to tell you an interesting thing. There was a first grader, a six-year-old girl, who came home the first day of school. And she was all excited. She says, Mommy, Daddy, Hungarian, I guess. Mommy, Daddy, guess what? There's God in the world. And the whole family rejoiced. That we have to be able to connect our children with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to have a positive relationship and to realize that relationship has to do, as a Chochem once said, I can never figure out who it was, that when I daven, I talk to Hashem. When I learn Torah, Hashem talks to me. We could talk more about that later. But it's a connection. It's to ask him for what I want. It's to thank him when I get something. It's to develop that sense of closeness with Hashem and to realize that that's really what it's all about. David HaMelech said, "V'ani kirvas Elokim li toiv." What was the greatest good David HaMelech had? Closeness to Hashem. And unfortunately, it's something that the educational system is not giving enough of to our children. And I think we have to see to enhance that, to make it, you know, make it much more active. Now, it has to do with a few things. Number one, I'd like to ask you a question. There's one mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs hayoyim, or one of the assumed very important mitzvahs hayoyim on Purim that a lot of people are more machmer on than any of the other mitzvahs hayoyim or mitzvahs halayla or mitzvahs ha-Torah. And I guess we could all guess what that mitzvah is, right? No? No idea. Okay, good. Baruch Ashreichem. Okay. Now, and the Chazal have described it in such a strange way. Chayiv inish lipsume ad lo yoda bein orur homon baruch Mordechai. What kind of talk is that? First of all, how dare you even think in terms of Borur Mordechai and Boruch Homon? Like, Arura Esther and Baruch Zeresh. That's the sheer. That's what they want to tell me how much alcohol I should have when I drink. Okay. Want to tell me how many kosos, how many revisin I should drink. Fine. What's that all about? So I want to suggest something which I think might be important and helpful. You know, I once read that there's a cure for the common cold. And that cure is, go to bed with a bottle of booze, hang a hat on a nail in front of the bed, and drink. And when you see two hats there, then you know you're on the road to recovery. Now, really, when one drinks, what happens? One becomes oblivious to the physical reality and the emotional reality that's pent up inside of us comes out. The inhibitions are lessened, and we're more in contact. That's why I speak a lot against drinking because I'm scared of what could happen, but I thrive on listening to all the shikoyrim because I find out everything I have to know about them for the coming year to try to help them because it all comes out. And agav, I must tell you, most of them are crying. And if drinking makes you happy, so why is everyone crying? But that's tamakasha, you know what I mean? That's something to ponder, you know. But anyway, okay, fine. So anyway, there's a reality, there's an apparent reality, and then there's what I know in my heart. The apparent reality in Purim is very simple. Haman the villain. Zeresh, just as bad, if not worse. Mordechai and Esther, the heroes. That's it. Mordechai and Esther saved the day. Haman and Zeresh almost destroyed Klal Yisrael. And that's what we celebrate. But the reality is that that's not the reality. That's the way it looks. And it's very easy to think that, yes, that's the story. That's what happened. Of course, the reality is much deeper than that. And when we drink, and when we become oblivious to the apparent reality, and we start seeing things differently from the way the apparent reality appears, and we allow the inner realization to take root or to come forth, and which that is, you know, the truth. The truth is Einu Mevadoi. The truth is that everything is Min HaShemayim. The truth is nobody has any capability to do anything. Bein L'tav, Bein L'mutav to Klal Yisrael. It's all the Bein Re'olam. It's all the Rabbeinu Shalalem. And I discover it just like in the Megillah I discover it when the Shem HaShem is not mentioned and I see a series of historical coincidences that took place over many years and all of a sudden at the end it hits me like a ton of bricks. Gewalt! It was all orchestrated by the Bein Re'olam. That's the inner reality. That's the hidden reality. That's the true reality. And when a person gets confused about the apparent reality and just the inner realization comes forth, and I dare say that the crying that I hear, and I listen very carefully, is a yearning soul to connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. More, and maybe it's only yeshiva light, maybe it's only by me, I don't know, but cry about the fact that I'm not really where I should be. I'm not what I should be. I don't feel that kesher. I don't feel that passion. I'm nichshol in things that I really wish I wouldn't be. So it's inside comes the realization of, that's the ad lo yoda. Ad lo yoda means forget, become oblivious to what you think is the reality, and recognize the real reality that underlies everything in the ultimate, truest sense, and that is that Hashem's Hashkocha is what controls everything. Nobody can hurt us and nobody can help us unless it's the Rotzon Hashem. And I think that that's a very, and Agav, I think I mention it now because that means that if a person can't think about Hashem when they get shikr, then according to this, at least, they're not doing the mitzvah. No shaykhis, right? Because that's the goal. The goal is to connect with that realization that I have inside and to recognize that it's all the Bo'ir Yoyim. Anyway, but I think that's so important. Our kids have to see that. They have to see that we see everything in terms of, not teva, in terms of hashkocha, the hashkocha protis. Hashem is involved in everything. You know, it's very nice when they come home and sing the song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. You know that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah? But it's very nice. But it's much more meaningful when they see it in action. It's much more meaningful when you share with them the stories of their, of your life, of others' lives, of what you hear, of what we know. The Hashkocha, everyone, if we went around this table now, I'm sure that if we asked everybody here in the last week, I would guess the last 24 hours, but the last week to tell us an amazing story of Hashkocha Pratis, you might not know at this point that you have such a story, but if you think of it for 2 minutes, and, oh, wow, oh yeah, oh there, it's, and we have to share that. Our children have to know that. We have to introduce them to the active, loving, involved intimately and intricately in every aspect of our lives, the Bo'ir Yoylem. And that's so critical. In fact, most people that don't grow to their potential, that don't develop that passion, that start to, you know, veer a little bit, tahina hair, or not exactly to follow exactly the path that we would like to see them following, deep down, there's that lack of that sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When there's a connection, when me and him, we're best friends. It's a whole different world. It's a relationship that gives them the strength to face the future, to scale the challenges, to maintain their sanity and their equilibrium and their emunah bitochen, because connected to Hashem. So, so important to show that and to model it and to explain it and to share it with them. It goes a lot further. We have to teach our kids to daven. Not the way the mumbling words. That's not what tefillah is. The definition of tefillah is it's ula ovdei b'chol avavchem, eizu hi avoide shebelev, zu tefillah. It's the service, it's the work of the heart. Do you know the Mishneh Brura in Hilchas Birchas Hamazon, in Hilchas Kriyashma, in Hilchas Brochos, all clears, in all those places, he clears the shaila of whether hirur is kedibur or not. If you think the words, is that just like dibur or not? In Hilchas Tefillah, he doesn't have that shayla. Hilchas tefillah is different because tefillah is not an inyan of dibur. Tefillah is avodah shebelev. Ezu hi avodah shebelev. The Gemara brings zu tefillah. So it has to come from the heart. Our kids should learn to pray from the heart. Our kids, it's important to know the words. It's important to read the words. It's important to say the words. It's important to daven. That's all important. But to make requests from the heart. Hashem wants, the Chayodim writes in its Savo to his family that at the end of Shemana Esrei, everyone should ask for personal bakoshes in any language that he speaks. And he says, it's mashmiva that that'll make the whole tefillah now. It's a tefillah stachanunim, because I really meant it. This is sincere. This is real. Kids should do that. And by the way, good parents should seek to it, listen to what they're saying and try to help them, you know, get some of the things that they're asking for so they have a gishmak, in the, you know, that they see that that's real. But whatever it is, but they should know that. Many people are afraid to tell kids to daven because they're afraid what happens if they're not going to get answered. Explain to them that Hashem doesn't always answer immediately. that the Imohis were Akoris, they had to wait many years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesaveh L'Tfilos and Shel Tzadikim. There's a cheshbon. Sometimes Hashem sees that it's not in our best interest to give us miyad, but He always answers. He's always listening. He always wants to help us. He's there for us. They have to be taught this. But you know something? As we've said in many things in life, their best teacher is the model, modeling it. They have to see it in us. They have to see our tefillahs. They have to see how we turn to Hashem. They have to see how we say Yirotzon. And before we take a medication, Yirotzon she'eis egzeh lila refuah ki roifei chinamot. The Mishnah Berurah brings, you should say that. They should see it. They should feel it. It should permeate the home. We're connected to Hashem. There's a Borei Olam. He runs the world. He's involved. He's engaged in every aspect of our existence. And it's so, so critical for them to have that. And we also have to let them know Hashem speaks to us through His Torah. I don't know if I mentioned this last time. Did I mention how from Har Sinai Hashem speaks directly to us right here? Does it sound familiar? No. Okay, because I mentioned a few times recently, so I get a little bit concerned that I'm repeating it. Listen to this, yeah? In Torah, we have halochas, okay? Conduct ourselves a certain way. Now, the halocha is the way to decide what's the best thing to do under unknown circumstances. What do I do? I don't know. I can't make a decision. Well, the first thing you look, what's halachically appropriate? What's halachically proper? What's maybe not a little bit or a little bit questionable? That's the first thing. And by following the directives of halacha, I'm following the directives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so many pieces of advice in Torah Shebaal Peh to know how to make decisions, to guide us to make the right decision. You have a suffix? Sheval taseh. Better do nothing than to do the wrong thing. Ain't suffix moisa bidevadai. You have to make a turn. You don't know whether to turn. Well, today it's not Nagia anymore with Waze. You don't know whether to turn right or left. You turn to the right. These are not just hanhogos that we have. These are messages from the Borei Olam given at Har Sinai. What does that mean? That means 3,330 plus years ago at Har Sinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu, He had in mind each and every one of us sitting in this room and every member of Klal Yisrael in every situational decision that you'll find that you have to decide to go left or to go right or to Sheval Taseh or to do or Sofik Mesim Nevada or a thousand other klolim with chazokas and with roivs and with all kinds of birurim, and it's addressed to me. The Beria, of course, doesn't he know? Didn't he know 3,300 years ago the way he's sitting and talking about this tonight? Didn't he know that every decision I have to make, when he gave that, he said, Sheval Taseh, he addressed one to you, and one to you, and one to you, and one to me, and one to you, and to everybody else. Let our kids feel that sense of the Chashivas HaTorah as the Dvar Hashem. Let them feel that. I tell a story, and this is where I got this idea about Adlo Yoda. But when it happened, I made sure to tell everyone that I could tell. What happened? I give on Monday nights, I give a shiur in Yonei Bitochen, someplace in Cedarhurst. So I have to give the topic. The guy texts me on Sunday to give a topic. And then on Monday night at 8:30 is the shiur. So unfortunately, I'm not from the early preparers, even from the late preparers. But anyway, so I give a topic, and then I got to, you know, develop the discussion around the topic that I gave, which is sometimes a little bit challenging, like the guy who drew the target, you know, shot the arrow and then drew the target around it, you know. So it's a little bit challenging. So last week I gave the topic, Shoshanas Yaakov, : the Song of Bitochen. Okay, now what am I doing? Okay, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzol V'Samecho, Chuosam Yisrael Netzach, okay. Sikvosam, hope, that's Bitochem, Vacholdor, Vador. Lohidia, Shakol Pevech, Loyevoshu, Vloyikom, Lonetzach, Kolachoisimach, okay, I got what to talk about. Then I'm 2 minutes away from the house, thinking, I'm driving, Orur Homan, Boruch Mordechai. Mazeh Shayach. How is that the song of Bitochen? And the Rebbeinu Shalom throws into my head for the first time this idea that I suggested, which to me is very much, that's what the Bitochen is, coming in touch with the reality that it's all Hashem and everything else. Oh, I have such a problem in business, it looks like everything's going to fall apart. Oh, I have such a medical issue, I'm so concerned about it. Oh, I have such an issue with my children. Oh, I have this, oh, I have that. Yeah, but there's a Bairi Oil who controls everything. Don't forget it, don't lose it, keep that focus. And that's the ultimate in terms of having Bitochen. You can't have Bitochen on Hashem unless you ask about everything. And the last minute, it pops into my head. And Baruch Hashem, it was good. So something happens. It's a little thing. It's no big deal. It's not going to make anybody, but every time, a little something. Something happens. There's every day something happens, whether it's in the office, whether it's in the Beis Medrash, whether it's where it's in the street, whether... Share these things with our kids. Introduce them to the active Bairi Olam who's involved with every aspect of our existence. Very, very critical. That's number one. And without that, they can't possibly have a relationship. But then, they have to know how much Hashem loves us. It's something that's so, so critical. How do you do it? There's many ways to do it, but any opportunity that we have, whether it's we were the recipients of a chesed, whether it was some act of hashgacha that took place, whether it's just recognizing what goes on in the world, imagine that. Read to them, everybody knows this essay by Mark Twain, all things are mortal but the Jews. Read to them. I mean, not to him, but a little bit. Just ispailus. Ispailus, what? Nothing. The whole world. Oh, only Klal Yisrael survived. Only Klal Yisrael. Of all that, we had everything stacked against us in every single generation. There wasn't a tkufa in our history where everything wasn't stacked against us, and yet here we are. And all of our enemies, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, they're all in the museums. And we're still alive and well to tell the story. Things like that, they give such chizuk. And our children have to be nurtured on that. And they're not getting enough of that. You can never get enough of it. But they're certainly not getting enough of it. And we have to be able to share those things with them otherwise. Now, there's a critical ingredient in life, and that is Bitochen in Hashem. And really, Purim is a very good basis or a foundation to develop that Bitochen, because the story of Purim is worse than any story that we experience. Why? Here you have Amalek, who is the nemesis of Klal Yisrael, Oid mi beten imom shel Esav Yaakov. That was already, Esav is the father of Amalek, the grandfather, and they were fighting there. And this is a constant battle. We came to bring Yaakov to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Yaakov is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Esav is right there to stop him. We want to bury Yaakov Avinu in Maor Samach Pelah. Esav is there to stop him. They come out of Mitzrayim and they're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Amalek is there to stop them. Another time in Amalek, before they went to Eretz Yisrael, Amalek is there. And Vayta with Haman. Constantly, this is constantly the enemy of Klal Yisrael. This is Amalek. And he had the Gzeira Lahashmid Largul Aved, and it was Nechtam B'Tabas HaMelech Ve'Elo Oshiv. It can't get worse than that. Amish. And yet, not only was there a Yeshua, but on Purim we discover that the Yeshua was in the making for over a decade. It's the coincidences, the current events, the historical events that took place, Suda and Vashti and her refusal and Esther to be chosen and Mordechai over a year, a discussion and this and that and so forth and so on until the very, very end. all of a sudden we see that not only do we discover that Hashem orchestrates everything, not only do we discover that under the worst, apparently worst circumstances, where Lahashmig Laur Laabig was almost a reality, by the ultimate nemesis to Klal Yisrael, who, if anyone could have made it a reality, it's in a sense almost that was his tafkin in life, to challenge us. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, way before they started doing tshuva, right when they sinned, before they started doing tshuva, before they realized anything, before anybody realized anything, it was all in the process, all to bring about the Yeshua. Do you know what that does to be able to develop Bitochem Hashem? Watch this, Bitochem Hashem. Well, number one, it seems overwhelming. It seems hopeless. Number two, Shema Goram Achet. Maybe I've sinned. Maybe I'm not worthy. Okay. Well, Purim was overwhelmingly helpless, more than any problem we'll ever face. And Shema Goram Achet, by Purim it was Vaday Goram Achet. We know what the chet was. Do you know what a chilul Hashem it was to eat from the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash with the tarfus that they gave them with their Beis Vosnoch? Givalt. And yet, the Yeshua was not just when they did tshuva. The Yeshua was in motion way before they did tshuva. And we have to know that, our children have to know that, that Hashem is, He has it all under control. And sometimes when things seem so bleak, we still have bitochen, because we may think that what we need is a miracle, but we may forget that the miracle has been in progress the whole time. And that it's just a question of revealing it, which just comes out eventually. And this is something, this sense of bitochen and Hashem, the ability to trust Hashem, is so critical. And there are levels of bitochen. If you look, there's a few svarim that you see in the Chazon Ish too, that there are levels, and certainly the Rav Ben Arambam, and the beginning step is just, there's no accidents. Everything's orchestrated by Hashem. That's something, just if we get that lesson across to our children, there are no accidents. There is nothing. Everything is from Hashem. That's number one. But then there's such a thing as, we don't give up hope. We don't give up hope. Rav Ben Arama says that's a form of bitochen. And this Reb Chaim Namoch, was one of the kufa of the Sfarish Rishonim, says that the hope is as powerful in assuring the results as is the bitochen itself. Bitochen means I'm sure. Kivui, yichul, tzipui, and chikui are all the shades of hope, which means I can't swear, but afilu cherev chodem munach al tzavor she'odem al yisya'ish min arachamim, I'm not giving up hope. I be sure if I won't give up hope. There's nothing that can happen to make me give up hope. And when we feel this, then that's a schus that Hashem helps us. And we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. We shouldn't be afraid to allow ourselves to reach those levels. We shouldn't be afraid to share those things with our children. They should know the power of tefillah in the connection to Hashem. They should know the power of bitochen. The Or HaChaim writes that bitochen is more powerful than tefillah itself. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were standing on the Yam Suf, and Paro was approaching them, the Yam Suf was here, the wild animals here, Moshe Rabbeinu was calling out to Hashem. Hashem says to him, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Matitzak Eli, Dabar Bnei Yisrael V'Yisov." Matitzak Eli, the Or HaChaim says, "To whom should I call?" He says, "There was a kitrug on Klal Yisrael because of what they did in Mitzrayim." And Hashem says to Moshe, says, "Now's not the time for tefillah. The Satan can interfere with your tefillahs. But there's one thing he can't interfere with. Dabar al Bnei Yisrael V'Yisor, your emunah and bitochon is invincible. Go into that Yam Suf and you'll see the Yeshua." And we have to nurture our family, nurture our children on this sense of bitochon b'Hashem. Lohidia, Purim can teach us the magnitude of the miracle and the secrets of its unfolding way before we saw it are so powerful that it's lohidia shekol koivecho lo yevoishu v'lo yikom lo netzach kol hachoisim boch. Anyone who puts his hope in you will be saved. If the Purim story could happen, if Klal Yisrael could be saved under those conditions, that can inspire us that Hashem, you just put your hope in Hashem and you don't give up and you know that Hashem can save us, and I'm hoping and hoping and hoping, and it will never be disappointed. We'll never be embarrassed. Hashem responds to that type of hope. And these are things that they have to become like just commonplace in our homes. This is the way we live. This is what it's all about. We're constantly connected to Hashem. We're constantly appreciating Hashem. I mean, take for example, teach the brocha sheyotza. Just roifei chol bosor umafli lasos. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. There are such beautiful things he says about roifei chol bosor. He says that there's that Hashem is there's a sickness. He says, because the poisons that are in the body can kill us. But yet Hashem constantly, every day, many, many times a day, is constantly letting out those things. Umafli lasus, he says, where in the world do you find such a thing that you take in food, the greatest pella in the world, you take in food, and the body has the ability to extract that which is constructive and necessary and eliminate that which is unnecessary and which is waste. Just that process alone, the chesed Hashem, the hashkocha protis, everything that Hashem does for us, just to realize these things, it's not shaykh. And who's doing it? The Borei Olam, the Elokeinu, who is the Melech Olam. Melech Olam, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but it's one of my favorite things I heard from my mother-in-law about an almona that's trying to support her family by making every day selling bagels in the shuk. And one day she didn't sell any. It's time to go home already, it's getting dark, and somebody comes by and says, what do you have there in the basket? She has bagels, so I gotta buy it all, making a simcha, fine. And she's walking, she says, Rabbi Yishalayla, you're so busy with your whole world. Where do you find the time to look into this almona's basket to see what's going on there? Our children should know that it's the Melech HaOlam. Do you know what problems he has to take care of as we speak? Do you know what's going on in this crazy world today? The Melech HaOlam has nothing more important than to worry that I have what to drink right here. This can be a reality for our children. Now, it doesn't come with lectures. It comes with models, with modeling, with seeing it, with feeling it, with sharing them here and sharing them there. Nobody likes to listen to lectures. But you share a vort here, something there, something happened, a little story, something that they can hear and they figure it out for themselves. Don't bang it into their heads, you know. The best lessons are discovered. In fact, the relationship with Hashem on Purim is really a discovery process. The Goyen writes that he gives a moshel for what the Purim story is. He says there was a prince, a king, whose son misbehaved, inappropriate behavior, and he chased him out of the palace. And he's wandering in the forests out there, you know, aimlessly, doesn't even know what to do there. So at one point, some wild animals try to attack him, and his father's men jump out and they save him. Another point, he's going along there and some armed robbers come by. Again, his father's men come out to save him. And another incident like that. And one day he says, you know something? My father still loves me. And he was this seirer to reconnect and to do tshuva, to come back and to apologize and so forth. They have to discover it on their own. If our lives, if we model these things, and if they overhear the conversations, and if they see the stories without dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, and they figure it out themselves. That's what Purim says. On Purim, we discover Hashem in the Megillah. The stories are there, but they don't add up. And all of a sudden, after we hear the whole thing, we come to this awakening, this realization, that's the most powerful thing. Because when you try to convince a person, when you try to argue with a person, when you try to lecture to a person, when you try to brainwash a person, the resistance is up. But when they discover it themselves, it's a whole different story. And that's the way our kids, there are so many books today that are written for kids that can inspire them. But we should a little bit, read what they're reading, see what they, before you buy a book, take a look and see if there's really a message there, if there's really a positive message there, or if there's really a stupid message, or if there's really a bad message. There's so many positive things they can have. There's so much, and as they get older, there's even more information and more books and more things that they could do. But this is, it's a process of inspiring them. But I must say that maybe the most powerful thing is they have to see it in us. If they see we come home, I have a problem, and I'm a nervous wreck, and I can't talk to the family, and I can't even eat dinner, and I'm on the phone the whole time, and they sense, you know, kids are very, even babies, ubrois bebeten imam, are sensitive to anxiety. And certainly older children, and as they get older, they see, I'm always mad, I come, I can't. Then you know something? You undermine the whole chinuch. Because what? There's Hashem in the world, and you trust Hashem, and Hashem does chesed, and everything he does is for the good, and what do you get more bent out of shape about? I have a thing I should have brought here. I feel very bad. It's a beautiful thing, but it's for us, not for them. It's a poster that says, be happy, don't worry, or don't worry, be happy. I don't remember what it says exactly. So it's like this. It says, a circle over here. Do you have a problem? Okay. Yes is one possible answer. Is there anything you can do about it? Then there's no or yes. So if there's something you can do about it, then why worry? Because just do something about it. If there's nothing you can do about it, then why worry? Because there's nothing you can do about it. And then LMI, you don't have a problem, then why worry? It's a beautiful thing. Everything leads to why worry? And when we know there's a Boyer Yoylam, but if they see us worrying, if they see the urgency, if they see we're shushking, like, you have to, which means we can't fake it either. Did anyone ever try to fake out their kids? I'm sure people did. They're too smart. Every smart parent has kids that are smarter than them. It's just the way it goes. And the kids certainly think they're smarter than them. You know, how did Mark Twain say? He says, when I was 15, I thought my father was stupid. By the time I was 20, I was amazed at how much he learned. You know, something like that. But this is, you know, but we have to model this. And it's real. There's a Bayre Oilam. He takes care of everything. Look at this. Look what happened. Purim. That shaykh, it was all over. It was all over. I'd like to though add one other thing that I think is very important. There's the Gemara. It's a Gemara. It's brought. It says, "Gedola hasoras hatabas yoyse mimemches neviim v'zayin neviyos." Because when Klal Yisrael Sachashverish give the tabas to Haman, that brought them to do tshuva. So the Eitz Yosef learns Pshat over there, and he says that until Achashverosh gave over the Tabas, they knew Achashverosh was very indecisive. He's constantly changing his mind. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. So they always had, he says, Teichaltom. They always had hope. They're always hoping. The assumption is they hope to Hashem. You know, Achashverosh, okay, Hashem will take care of it. When they saw that He gave away the sign, which means if you seal it, then there's no changing his mind. That's when their hope, their hope faded, and then they were brought to tshuva. It seems from here that sometimes if a person develops a strong hope and a strong bitochen, it can almost negate the need or the desire or the realization of how much we need to do tshuva. We have a problem now. Moshe, we're living right now with a serious problem. One attitude is, you know, have to have bitochen. Everything will be all right. Hashem will help. There's no question. And it's true. And that is an absolute imperative to have. But mitzad sheni, we shouldn't let that take away the fact that Chazal say yisurim born all of yafashrish b'maisov. A person has yisurim. It's supposed to teach us to look to see what we did and to do tshuva. So we have to do what not. Children should also know that if they're afraid that they're not good enough, that Hashem wouldn't respond to their hopes and to their prayers because they're not worthy. They should know there's such a thing as tshuva. Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Keser Rosh, Midina de Gemara, tshuva is a gemiras das loshuv l'kisle oid. The mirus halevis yes has said this. You have to know. If you decide, you're not going to do it again. You made a mistake, you're not going to do it again. Okay, I trust Hashem, he's going to help me. And I realize that I can become a better person. And for us, we shouldn't let that trust, if we develop it, interfere with the process of doing tshuva, because that's also critical. And we need both. And in today's world, definitely what's called for is both. The strengthening of our bitochon, and the seeing what we can do better, how we can improve Klal Yisrael, how we can improve ourselves individually. And that's what's called for. That's what these things are all about. And that they come to realize this, and they see the way we look at life. And of course, these are some thoughts for younger kids and some thoughts for older kids, but they're thoughts for us. And if we live our lives with this greater impassioned connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything we do, life takes on a whole different meaning, a whole different connection to Hashem. But I want to suggest something else, both for ourselves and for our children, that's worthy. I heard from my shver, Zichrono Livracha. It's Poshe Pshat in the Haftorah, but it's amazing. Shmuel HaNovi is told by Hashem that Shaul is no longer worthy of being Melech. And Shmuel goes to Shaul, his beloved Shaul that he anointed as Melech, to tell him the good news, the bad news, that he's no longer going to be Melech, Melech Yisrael. He comes to him. Shaul hears that Shmuel is coming, and he runs out to greet him. Baruch Hashem, HaKimoisi es Dvar Hashem. I fulfilled Hashem's rots and I destroyed Amalek. I'm a hero. And Shmuel says to him, Umeh kol hatzoin meh, kol hatzoin vahabokor that I hear over here. What's this? You're supposed to kill out all the animals. So Shaul answers, that's for Karbonus. First he said, well, we'll go on. Let's put the whole story on the table. Then Shmuel says to him, Hashem wants you, Hashem needs your karbonos. All he wants is that you should listen to him. So then all of a sudden, Shaul says, Ki yoreisi min ha'am. I was afraid of the people, that there wouldn't be any spoils. I was afraid that they would have tightness, they would rebel, I don't know what. And I cannot, what happened over here? The animals are standing right there making noise in the earshot of the Novi. The Novi comes and says to him, he didn't even start to talk to him yet. And he greets him with such simcha, HaKimoisi es Dvar Hashem. What? You didn't fulfill Dvar Hashem. Agag is still there. Agag, from that Agag came out, Chmon Litzlan, the continued existence of Amalek to this very generation, to Chmon Litzlan, the Holocaust that took place, Mizera Amalek. So, and Mekol Hatzoy. How could you think that you were Hakima? You're trying to lie to a Novi? Trying to fake out the Novi? Terence Shobu believed it. And then he gave the rationale, and said, oh, because we need it for Karbonus. Yeah. And then Shmuel shakes him up. And he says, now I recognize my real motivation. It's because I was afraid of the people. I believe that it's very important to teach our kids, and again, we're not talking about Rafi, that's his name, we're not talking about Rafi, he's a little young for that. But to teach our children this idea that we have the ability to fool ourselves. We have to be very careful in our own lives. We have to be willing to consider in front of them that we may be making a mistake. If Shaul HaMelech can leave the behemoths alive and say with a straight face b'simcha rabba to Shmuel HaKimoisi es Dvar Hashem. Do you know what a power a person has to fool himself? Not shaykh. And they have to learn that too, because And in life, there are so many things where we can fool ourselves to think we have bitachon. We can fool ourselves to think that we're very sincerely praying. We can fool ourselves to think we're this. We can fool ourselves. And our kids have to learn that lesson too. But again, we have to model that lesson for them. If they see the ability, I'll never forget one of my most memorable moments in the early days of dealing with my Rebbe, when I asked him a certain shaila, and he said he's negeh b'davar, because if he would have said a certain way, then someone would have put him under undue pressure. So he says, in those days we had a very good aid to go ask Rebbe Moshe. So I remember, like, I was so impressed, like, it was a pretty poshita thing, but he was afraid that I could be fooling myself because I have a negeah. I'm the gabidover. You know, I'm sure you know, the halacha is the Kohen Gadol can't sit on the bezin of Ibur Hashanah. That means in Adar, the Kohen Gadol can't decide whether to add another month. Why? Because he has to walk barefoot on the floor of the Azorah on Yom Kippur. And it might be a little bit colder if they add another month. So because of that negiah, he's going to be blinded. He won't be able to see the truth. Ever hear such a thing? Such a posha. Doesn't snow usually by Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael? You know, what's that? But it'd be a little bit etvos, a little colder. Posel to say he's not allowed to sit on that bezdin. And we have to know, and our children have to know, that we have the ability. If Shaul HaMelech could fool himself to such an extent, and that's a very important lesson, because then in many things in life, when our children think a certain way and say, well, you know something? Not every truth is exactly the way we think it, because we do have negias. There are blinders. When a person is negeh b'davar, things are not as clear as they would, as he would think they are. And I think this too is a very important lesson. And again, the only way that we can teach this lesson is by modeling the lesson. If our kids see that we told them something, and then we say, you know something? I'm not so sure about that, because maybe the reason that I said that is because of this. You know, the Chovetz Chabad declares at the beginning why he wrote the Sefer. He says, maybe I wrote it for Gaiva. And then he says, no, maybe I'm thinking that because I'm an Otzel. That's why I'm thinking that I wrote it for Gaiva, because I'm too lazy to write it. Or before he wrote it, or something like that. You know, I'm like, we have to test ourselves. But we're blindness. It's not, we don't see clearly. And that's an extremely important lesson that they have to say. And therefore, when we deal with our children, we have to show them our humanity. It's true, they have to respect their parents. It's true, we mentioned last time, that the parents have to respect the children. But it's also true that they have to see our humanity. And the reason is really very simple. Because if they don't see us as human, then every piece of advice and guidance and direction that we give them is suspect. You know why? Because you don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't understand what it's like. You don't understand what it's like to be a kid. Oh, don't try to convince them that you remember what it's like to be a kid. Like, but I'm human too. Yes, I have the gears, things that blind me. You have things, not everything you say, the way you see it is right, not everything I see is right. We're all human. And when they see our humanness, then they can identify with us. Then they can trust us that we can understand them. Because if we're superhuman, and they're human, and many parents try, and many rebbeim try, and also, you lose your hashpah if you're a superhuman person. Because they're not superhuman, and they don't believe that you can understand where they're holding in the world. And if we do that, I think we can have such a hashpa on our children. And we could give them such a strength and such an emunah and bitochin and you know, we understand where they're coming from. And especially, I think, in Purim, where if we talk about some of these things and we show it to them, and we with enthusiasm, with excitement, not with overwhelming, convincing, but let them figure it out, but I'm just excited about it. It means so much to me. They see how these feelings are real. I think it could have such an effect. And remember, as we started last time, we should conclude now that chinuch is a long-term operation. I think even Rashi, this Sedra also just was Barabbas to it, that chinuch means that a person is in it for the long run. It's not, we will not change or be mechanech our children in a session, in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. It's a process. But if we conduct that process, we connect them with Hashem, and we model those values and those feelings that are so critical to Yadus, I think we can have a major impact on them, and the results will be certainly an enhanced chinuch education. We'll be enhancing the chinuch that they're getting in the yeshivas, and we'll be able to calm them down, to give them a sense of menuchas ha-nefesh, to give them a sense of what life is really about, to give them a sense of connection to Hashem. And, you know, that's the answer to anxiety. That Rashi says, "Uvishavtem lovetach ba'artzechem shloi tidagu." Bitochen is the absence of worry. Today, if we could stop people from worrying and connect them to Hashem, the world would be a different place. And certainly we would have Menuchas HaNefesh even in critical times like this. And we would certainly have a major impact and influence on what happens.